As we have the communion elements here, we're going to take communion this morning. But, or this afternoon. Because what I want to do is, first of all, just share a word and we'll continue our worship as we then take the communion and close this service and allow the Lord to minister to us. See, what the Lord's been speaking very clearly to me is, yes, information is good, it's good to instruct people, it's good, but listen, get the people into my presence. Get the people into my presence. Get the people before me in prayer. Get the people to that place where they can receive directly from me. See, intellectualism, understanding things is just, it's a part of things, but there's so much that we don't understand. And over the last couple of weeks, the Lord took me to a place that I remembered, several things in my life that I remembered that I couldn't understand. You see, I've been one for really wanting to get everything right by the word and wanting to get everything just right. But you know, it's so close to legalism when you do that. You can become so legalistic so quickly. And we have to be careful because we can have good intentions, but when the emphasis is wrong, if we're not careful with the emphasis, if the emphasis isn't right, they can be misplaced good intentions. And what God wants for us is that we place ourselves before Him in a way that He can minister to us. And sometimes we don't understand what's going on. The last time I spoke here, God was ministering to people in a strange way. Strange things happened. And you can't quantify those things. I mean, why did Jesus make mud and put mud in that blind person's eyes? Why did He do that? I don't have a theology for that. Or when I was a young man and I went to visit an evangelist in a tent crusade and I was with the group as I was a singer in, and this Australian man who was down the front that I was really prejudiced against in some ways, I didn't really like it, the way he was. I felt he was overpowering the people and I felt he was dominating the people. But you know, I went forward almost to prove him wrong. And then very gently, the Lord ministered to me and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me. I was lying out on the floor. I don't know exactly what happened. I can't quantify all of that. I can't find the scripture chapter and verse for that. But I just know that God ministered to me at that point. Or the time that I went to a minister in London and I said, I told him all my woes, all the problems that I had. And his response to me was that I should speak in tongues more. And I felt cheated. I thought, well, hasn't he understood what I've said? Well, you know, speaking tongues more. You know, after a few years, I realized he was right. But I spent more time in prayer, speaking in tongues, abandoning myself to God. It would have been better for me. And so there's something about the unquantifiable move of God that we need. And let's not try and have everything just so that we can understand it. The beautiful thing about speaking in tongues is that we don't understand what we are praying. So we can't pray selfish prayers in tongues. We can't pray biased prayers in tongues because we don't know what we're praying. It circumnavigates the mind. And there's a sense of an abandonment there in that. And the Holy Spirit, He wants to minister in and through us in beautiful ways where we are abandoning ourselves to what we understand. You know, stop. Let's stop trying to understand things. And let's stop trying to sort of work everything out. Let's just be before God and say, Lord, have your way with me then. Speak to me. You know, when I first encountered this holy laughter, and there's a big debate, isn't there? It was many years ago, I suppose now, but, you know, is it right? Is it wrong? And, you know, looking at the Bible, looking for verses, looking for this. And the truth of the matter is, I experienced plenty of holy laughter, and the only thing I know is I felt good afterwards. And I haven't got chapter or verse. I don't have chapter or verse. I'm just glad that, as far as I'm concerned, it was the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is a beautiful thing, you know. But, you know, religion tries to come in and rob from us the things that God is trying to give us. And God has got great things in store for us. He really does have great things in store. Let me share with you then, just as we go into taking communion, from 1 Corinthians. It says this in 1 Corinthians 11. Watch this now. This is interesting because it's talking about self-examination. And it says this in verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Ah. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. But the key there is not discerning the Lord's body. So when it's talking about examining, it's talking about examining ourselves to make sure that we do discern the Lord's body, that we understand the Lord's body, that we can discern what the communion is about. Okay? So let's look at the scripture here as we prepare, from 1 Corinthians 2:2. 1 Corinthians 2:2, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says this: For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So the Apostle Paul in this letter says that he didn't want to know anything among the people apart from Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, had on his mind the finished work of Jesus Christ and the cross. And God wants our mind full of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because when we're conscious of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we will be aware of our position as a consequence to that reality. And if we're not aware of that and the strength of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we won't be aware of our position in Christ and Him crucified. Let's unpack it a little bit more. Watch. To be cross-conscious is to fix our eyes on Jesus, who's provided for our full deliverance and our full victory at the cross. Your sins and my sins were wiped out at the cross. They are not counted against us. Now, one of the things that the enemy does is fill us with self-condemnation, or at least try to, by saying, what a terrible Christian you are. What a terrible person you are. Look at what you did then. Look at the way that you reacted then. The enemy even fills people's minds with his thoughts. Have you ever been in prayer, in a church service even, and you have bad thoughts? Or am I the only one? Please tell me I'm not. I'm not the only one. No. We've all experienced it. And why is that? Well, the enemy tries to put thoughts in our mind. But you see, once we're cross-conscious, once we have Jesus' victory on the cross right in the forefront of our mind, those thoughts then can't result in our guilt. In other words, when we have thoughts like that, we know exactly what to do with them. Because we're cross-conscious, we're aware of Jesus and his victory, and we can put those thoughts right in their place. They come from the enemy, they're not from us, and we are not guilty of those thoughts, or we're not guilty of sins anymore, because all the sins that we could ever sin have been dealt with on the cross. Everything was dealt with on the cross. Now, the cross took place before I was born and before you were born. That means that he dealt with your sins and my sins in totality before we were born. He took those sins at the cross event. Amen? They're finished at the cross event. Sins that we've done, sins that we're yet to do. Everything was taken at the cross. He took all the sins at the cross. So you see, the enemy tries to come and trip us up and tries to take us away from what the Word is trying to teach us. And the Word is trying to bring right thinking. This is why Romans is so strong when it says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It's so strong, it's so powerful for those who will yield to it. The good news is that we come and we worship him right as we are right now, because he has made us right before him. Hasn't he done that? Hasn't he done that, everyone? You know what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21? 2 Corinthians 5:21, let's just turn there. I will be, when I'm in heaven, the righteousness of God in Christ. I will be, when I'm in heaven, the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? People are shaking their heads. Well, what does it say? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Present tense. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Present tense. It's nothing to do with my works. It's nothing to do with how good I am. My behavior. Oh, I'm a very good Christian. I'm a very good Christian. Yes, I come to church every morning and I'm praying in the mornings and I'm studying the Bible at night and I really spend time fasting and praying. You see, I'm a very good Christian. And so, you know, this applies to me. No. Actually, that's a very wrong emphasis for a Christian. You know, there was a rich young ruler who went to Jesus, and he said, Master, you know, all these things I've obeyed since I was a boy. He says, really? Okay, well, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. You can never justify yourself by the law. See, that young man was trying to justify himself and his position through the law. But you can't do it through the law, because even our best is as filthy rags. We'll never be justified by the law. The only way for us to be justified is by recognizing that it's not about our good works or what we've done, but it is about what he did, what he accomplished, our wonderful Jesus, our wonderful Savior. And now we can worship him, and we can stick close to him, and now we can celebrate the wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, and know that our sins have been dealt with, they're paid for in full. And I'm not going to look at the way I am in my life. I'm looking to the way that he is. And he made me the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And it's by faith alone, and that's it. Not by good works. And when people try to do it by good works, they trip up in the end. They fall in the end because they can never achieve it. But once, you see, what happens is once we recognize that it's Jesus-based and we're so thankful to Jesus, and now we begin to worship Jesus more in our lives, and now we want to be close to Jesus. We want to just be close because we're so thankful. What happens is there's less chance of that behavior happening. Because now we're closer to Jesus. This is the way to get close. You see how it works? So we get closer to Jesus, and that affects our behavior. But religion says, if you want to get close to Jesus, your behavior better be right. And that's not the, that's, it doesn't work. And in the Old Testament, let me share this again. Let's get this clear in our thinking as we come to take communion. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 12:5, it says, your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. The priest examined the animal sacrifice to ensure that it was without blemish. That's what the priest did. That was his part of his job. So the animal is brought forward, it's examined. But what wasn't examined was the person bringing the animal forward. The person bringing the animal wasn't of interest to the priest. The only thing the priest was interested in was the sacrifice. Now, if the sacrifice was without blemish, the sacrifice was good. And then the person was okay with God. Because the sacrifice that they gave was okay. God accepted the animal sacrifice as well as the offerer who brought the animal. Now let's go to Hebrews 9:14, where it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, glory! It makes me want to jump and shout, folks. Does it make you want to jump and shout? Oh, glory to God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hallelujah. Our conscience is cleansed from dead works. And this is where many Christians get confused. Most don't understand grace. They have a legalistic mindset and they miss out on the freedom they can have in Christ. They're sin-focused rather than Christ and his cross-focused. Grace-focused, in other words. So our foundational position in God is not based on how we live. It's based on Christ and his finished work. Our works or behavior have nothing to do with that position. Nothing to do with that position at all. But now we have our position in Christ, we find that we live under his control, and we then do the works of God. So as we come to God, let's not do any self-examination. This isn't a time for self-examination in that sense. The examination that we've read about here in 1 Corinthians says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and of the cup. For he who eats in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The examination that we make is just this, that we discern the Lord's body. And we've discerned who Jesus was, our Lord, our Savior, our full victorious sacrifice, who has now made us righteous. In God does not examine us. He's looking at the sacrifice of Jesus. Yes, we've got faith in that sacrifice. And so we're part of that family. And he sees us through the full value and all the loveliness and beauty of his son. Just before we come forward here, let's turn one more scripture here. Colossians 1. It says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. Hands up if you're holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight here this morning. Hallelujah. Now, you may not feel it, but that's okay. We're not walking by feelings, we're walking by faith. And the word tells us that that's who we are. Amen. Our position is as the righteousness of God in Christ. Therefore, when we come to this table, we come with faith and expectancy. And let's come with worship. We sang that song earlier, Holy, Holy. I'd like us to sing that again. And I'd like the worship team to come forward first and receive the communion so that they could then go to their instruments and play that song as the rest come for communion.